Before we kind of get into our service, I just want to say a brief welcome to those of you who may be visiting Grace for the first time. We're going to be doing something a little bit different for you today. You guys are going to be the sermon. But for those of you who are new, I just want to say we're really glad you're here. Hope you feel at home at Grace. And we would love to answer any questions that you have about our church, how we do church around here, what we believe, how we function, and how you can get involved too. And so I encourage you to fill out the little welcome card that's attached to your bulletin, and you can just tear it off and drop it in one of our offering boxes in the back. And feel free, if you want to make yourself known in person, to come up afterwards. And Scott and Gina Carpenter, I believe, are going to be hosting our atrium after the service, so they'd love to answer any questions you might have. So that's that. So today, as I mentioned last Sunday, we're going to devote our time together today to share with one another about what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, as a church family, we are called biblically to encourage one another, to build one another up. And oftentimes when we come here on Sunday morning, it's sort of a one-way deal. I mean, we have a little bit of time before and after, but not much. And so we thought it would be good, and you know, those of you who have been a part of Grace for a while, we do this in a Thanksgiving sort of way on Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time, but we thought it would be also great to add another annual event. We thought Memorial Day would be a great time to do it, to share with one another along certain lines. And in your bulletin last week, and I think in the insert of your bulletin last week and in your bulletin this week, you're going to find some questions that we kind of want to direct our conversations with one another along. And basically, the overarching question is, how have you been encouraged and comforted by God this year? And specifically, how has God encouraged you through His Word? What passages have impacted you, maybe? Or how has God encouraged you through His people, through one another? And then thirdly, how has God encouraged you through circumstances or events and other experiences that you've gone through this year? And so that's the kind of the path that we want to direct our conversation with one another this Sunday. And so Tim is here, and he's going to just play a song for us instrumentally to give us space to, if you haven't done so already, to consider those questions. And then I'll get back up here and sit down, and I hope I don't have to do any talking today, but that you do all the talking. And I want to encourage you, I know that public speaking is, you know, is nerve-wracking for many of you. I encourage you to lean into that, because it's really great to be encouraged by what God is doing in our lives. So let's try to push through that. So let's just take some time and think about these things. Thank you. So how we're going to do this is Ted and George, if you guys would be so kind to kind of man our mics, you got them in your hands, great. You don't have to get up here. We won't make it that hard for you. But just raise your hand in your seat, and then they'll bring a mic over to you and just share with us. So who wants to do the really hard work and kick us off? Mom, I you didn't have to do this for me. Thanks, babe.
I've been in an Ezekiel Bible study taught by a Jewish Christian for a little over a year that has been absolutely fabulous. And you might not think of encouragement in Ezekiel as being a part of this, but it's just been fabulous in that the times that there has been judgment and restoration for the Israelites all through the book of Ezekiel, it reminds me of how God has dealt with me. I do some of the same sins over and over again, and yet he has grace and mercy. And of course, the hope in the prophecies in Ezekiel, some of you may know, which are some of them very hard to understand, but they give you great hope. And so I'm going to say that my passage of scripture this morning is Ezekiel. Then on the second question that we have to think about, I thank the Lord that he has encouraged me through people by their prayers for me. My circumstances have been up and down, and even sometimes, you know, somebody will tap me on the shoulder, I've been praying for you about thus and so. And that has just been fabulous. And little gifts that have come my way unexpectedly and generously through his body has been quite a time of encouragement. And then on the third, how God has encouraged me through these, it's just that he never forgets where we are in this walk of faith. And even if our circumstances aren't what they might be or could be, I'd like to read this. It's just two verses. I think I just ripped my Bible. Gosh. Anyway, it's two verses out of Lamentations. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. And that is out of the NIV. Thank you.
You get 3 stars for answering 3 questions. Thank you, Mom. You don't have to answer all 3, but appreciate that. That's good. Anybody else? Tina.
Thanks. John and I have been at Grace now. I think of Lauren, who is almost 25, and we came over from Mariners when I was pregnant with her. And I think of, really out of incredible gratitude, that God has given us a body at Grace that truly has been a family and come alongside all 3 of our girls as they have grown up and loved them well, encouraged them in Christ and in their walk. And I am so grateful for the teaching through many of the pastors that have been here. Obviously, is Davey here? I am so grateful for Davey's teaching and that he has truly been graced by God to present the truth with accuracy, as much as a human being can, but with humility. And Mark, I'm grateful for you. Just your shepherding heart, really, that has brought family, a sense of family to this church. And your wife, Tracy, always thinking about others behind the scenes and not growing weary. I love this passage in 1 Timothy. Paul is writing, And he says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm one of those sinners, and he has displayed his unlimited patience and mercy on me, and I am grateful.
Thanks, Tina. Wills. Dave.
As opposed to so many of you who are long-timers here at Grace, Helen and I are short-timers here at Grace. Been here just barely over a year. And God has encouraged us to really become a part of this family through serving opportunities, whether that be Village of Hope, Food Bank, which we did yesterday, gleaning fields, as I was saying to Daniel, with from cucumbers earlier in the year. God has really shown his face for us in service. And as we feel more a part of this family, even in a very short time, as a result of that kind of encouragement.
Thanks, Dave.
My name is Joe Redd, and I'm just really encouraged by my wife, Maureen, who this past year has been teaching our granddaughters a course in manners, and she's really honored God, and just really her dedication to our grandchildren, and I know she doesn't get the thanks that she deserves at times, but I know God will honor that.
I just want to thank this congregation as well. I say amen to what Tina had to say for the teaching. I'm very, very grateful. Mark, you have been a great encouragement to me in light of a lot of things that have gone on the last couple of years in our lives. We've recently, Sue and I have made a move, and darn near killed us. But I'll never forget Virginia Davis, who we celebrated her memorial service, worked for me for 17 years, and when she hit 70, she started fading, and I was always giving her a bad time. I said, Virginia, you can buck it up, you can do it. She says, wait till you get to be 70. Well, she's right. And, things start to happen. Anyway, I just, being the kind of person who's emotional up and down a lot, I'm just grateful for the gospel. And recently I've been meditating on Paul's verse in Romans 1:16, where he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For in it, that is the gospel, righteousness is revealed by faith, for the just shall live by faith. So I've been thinking about those words and meditating on those words. And what did Paul mean by this idea of not being ashamed? And what it means is that we will not ever be embarrassed or disappointed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God that is saving us, and it isn't me. And I am so grateful for that. Because if it had anything to do with me, I'd never make it. So I just want to say I'm grateful for the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, And the power of God is at working in me, who is saving me from my fear, saving me from my anger, saving me from my anxiety, and transforming me more and more. Maybe you folks don't see it. And, but I'm becoming more and more like him, and I'm grateful for that today.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm Tom Searles, and I am struck by every Sunday we come here. Mark, we've known each other for 30 years, 25 years. Bill, I used to get my clothes from you when I was 11 years old. unfortunately, I still can't get them from you because they were always great. Tina and John, we've known each other for a long time. But we were at, I was at a lunch, business lunch on Friday, out in Ontario, and at a business lunch, sometimes you wonder if you make that awkward moment where you make yourself, you know, say a little silent prayer for yourself before your blessing. And the person who I'd only met once before took the initiative, and she had a silent moment before our meal. And the person I was with, he and I took her lead and did the same thing. So I said, obviously, you're a believer. She goes, yes, I am. And he goes, well, what church do you belong to? She goes, oh, I don't belong to a church. It's all in here, inside. I said, at that moment, it struck me how powerful and how what a benefit we have for having this body of Christ. It is something that you, even though you may be a believer, God calls us to be part of a body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is what this is. And we gain so much support and accountability in our lives when we're part of this, part of a body of Christ. It's what God and Jesus and Paul tells us to do. So I want to thank Mark, John, the other elders of the church, and this body for what you bring to our walk with Christ. So thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm Helen Swan, and I'm kind of a self-conscious speaker, a sapling of the Lord, but the verse that I wanted to claim for this year was from Isaiah 61:3. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, and that's really what I want to become. And I want to thank the women's ministry here at Grace. We have wonderful teaching on Wednesday mornings, thanks to Linda and Christina and Ann and Terry. Those women give so much time to the preparation for that study, and I just want to commend that study to those of you women who want to grow, and thank them for their time. And also, for Dave's leadership, I just love his, the way he preaches, the penetrating questions that he asks at the end of each sermon. He'll say, what's the larger story here? How can this bring me to greater dependence on God? And I love the time that he spoke on us being comforters. He said we seek so much comfort, and he wants to comfort us to be comforters of others. And he says that we're wounded healers, and where we've been wounded, we can help others in that way. And some of the other questions that were really penetrating were on, we ask for bread. And are we asking for Jesus, or are we just coming for him for bread? He also asks us, where can we trust in a more daring way? And I just appreciate the teaching that we get here at Grace. Thank you.
Thanks, Helen.
somebody on Ted's side of the room wants to say something.
It's time for me to speak. This has been kind of an interesting year for me. I wrote some things down, which I normally don't do either. But my verse this year was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all ways and he shall direct your path. I've really found that to be true this year because of a lot of different circumstances. I must be getting old like Bill because I can't read very well. How has God encouraged you through people this year? Well, the one way he encouraged me this year was through my daughter, who was very sick. And I got to see what Christianity and Christ was all about because of the people who prayed for her, who took care of her, who used his strength to just work wonders in a number of different people's lives. It was absolutely amazing. He encouraged me this year through work, my own health, which is up and down, not very good sometimes, and the people around me who are really sick and still move forward with the Lord. To me, it's really kind of amazing to see people who are ill, who trust so deeply and are willing to accept what God has in their life, whether it's good or whether it's bad from a human standing, human understanding. But it was kind of an amazing year, and I just want to thank you all for your prayers, your understanding, and your deep, deep love, and I thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
I just wanted to thank everyone, I guess, publicly when Joe and I had the boys or when I had them. We just were never so, just been so encouraged and so supported by, I just felt the whole church and the prayers, and I think we had 5 weeks of meals from everyone, and we've even had people, you know, offer, and they've come over and babysat. I just wanted to thank everyone, and just we've been asked so much how we're doing, and so much prayer, and it's been a huge blessing.
I've been sitting here trying to talk myself out of standing up, but sometimes God does something in your life really in an unexpected way to where it's so clear that it's from God. I mean, I'd like to recognize that everything in my life is from God, but sometimes you sort of go forward and you don't see it as clearly. And I had a circumstance this year where about a year ago, there was a little blurb in the church bulletin. I think it was only in for maybe 2 weeks, and then it disappeared, about a ministry opportunity at Birth Choice Medical Clinic. And it's a crisis pregnancy center. There's four clinics around Orange County. And I've always had kind of a heart to do something in that type of ministry, but as soon as I saw it, I immediately started trying to talk myself out of it, like, well, I've got, you know, kids at home, it's not a good time in my life, blah, blah, blah. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to just call and find out. So I did, and I interviewed with the director and kind of started through this process, and I just kind of kept moving forward in spite of what my brain was telling me, which I, you know, give God the credit for that. But I went through the training, and I'm kind of a person that feels like I feel pretty competent in life, like I can handle most things, and at some point during the training and as I was meeting with the people involved, I started feeling like I am way in over my over my head here. And part of what we do at the clinic is we meet with girls that come in crisis pregnancy situations, and they're broken. They a lot of times haven't told anyone in their lives what's going on, and this is the first time that they've faced this major event that's going on. And part of what we do is sit and talk to these girls and try to, you know, I say counsel in quotes, we really just kind of listen, and but we're presenting options to them and, you know, trying to look for opportunities to present the gospel. And I thought, I started, I guess, when I met with the people saying, maybe I need to do office work, like, because I can do that, I'm really good on the computer, and, you know, sitting down with a girl in that situation that's maybe in a, you know, had a really difficult life, made some really bad decisions, I just felt really totally unequipped to do that. So I ended up stopping by one of the clinics that we have, you know, again, just like stepping forward. Part of my panic about it told me that maybe it was a good thing to keep pursuing. And so the director at this clinic, I just clicked with her, and I was just sitting here thinking about how God uses people. Here's somebody I had never met before, you know, lives in a different city, different church, different background, the whole thing. And yet God brought this person into my life, and then she actually doesn't work at the clinic anymore, so she's gone. So I knew her for like 6-7 months, but that conversation with her, it was just, I could tell God used her to remind me that whatever ministry I was going to do had nothing to do with whatever skills that I had. I just needed to be available for God to work through me. And part of what we learned in the training was kind of the Moses-Aaron situation, and how Moses felt so ill-equipped to speak for God and was such a poor speaker. And there were just a lot of examples like that that were so encouraging to me. And it's, you know, some days are more difficult than others, but it was just a neat opportunity where it was just clear that God was moving in my life in spite of what I wanted or what I felt I could do. So, and that lady was a neat person that he used to do that. So it was very encouraging to me to see his work.
Thanks, Kristen.
My name is Christina Levishev, and for those of you who are newer to the community, I just thought I would share because it's indicative of what I will say, but we lost our son, who was almost 3 a year and a half ago. And before I read, because I tend to read what I share, I wanted to just say that this community has surrounded us so incredibly well, and I hope that that has been communicated every time Drake or I has shared anything. And to talk about encouragement or comfort and not say that to me, I feel like I would be missing something. But I also wanted to say along those lines is that as Dave was talking last week about being the church being the aroma of Christ, and as I have shared our journey publicly, something that has continued to stand out to me is the way that this particular community, Grace Fellowship Church, has surrounded us has been so powerful and compelling to the lost world. I have probably had, I can think of at least 3 off the top of my head, non-believers come and say, watching people love you guys through your experience has for the first time in my life made Christianity attractive. It has been the aroma of Christ. And so the way that we have been loved has been exactly what he is calling the body to, and we feel humbled to be the recipients of that, but I just want to communicate that it is powerful to a non-believing people who don't know what that kind of love is. And so thank you for being the hands and feet to love, through to be God's love to us, and then ultimately to his the dying world. So that was my aside. I am a writer, and I can't help but write, and I just wanted to share something that people continue to ask us is, how do you continue to have faith when you've lost your son and you prayed desperately for God to heal him? And I'm just going to read to you something, and it actually is very raw, so I'm going to say that up front, but here we go. Just a couple hours after Judson died, I crumbled on my bed, weeping uncontrollably, devastated and broken. God, where are you? I cried. What have you done, and why didn't you heal my son? I thought you were going to. Then the book Morning by Morning by Charles Spurgeon happened to be sitting on my nightstand staring at me, almost calling to me that day. And after a while, I finally decided to pick it up and read the entry for that day, November 7th, the day of Judson's death. What I read has remained emblazoned in my mind and continues to be one of my greatest sources of comfort as I have grieved the loss of my boy. Spurgeon describes how in the book of Isaiah, Judah is feeling abandoned by God and declares, "The Lord has forsaken me and my God has forgotten me." There have been many moments in the last year and a half where I've been tempted toward unbelief and have even experienced feelings of being deserted by God. But the Lord's loving word of admonition offered to the disbelieving people of Judah keeps ringing in my mind. He says, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." Isaiah 49:16. The Lord is declaring his constant faithfulness and the impossibility for him to forget his beloved. He has even gone so far as to etch them into his own skin, which I have actually done with my son's name. And then I hear God's voice to me. "Christina, you are my beloved. I am present with you. I have also carved you into my hand. I have not and will not forsake you. I am faithful and I am good. You cannot be forgotten by me, the one who created you." And in our hardships and in our challenges, and I know that there are many in this room, it can feel like at times we have been forsaken. But I say to all of us, and mostly to myself, as a constant reminder, behold, the Lord has indelibly inscribed each of us on the palm of his hand.
Thank you, Christina.
I have talked before, and I just want to say that when you are going through hardships, you tend to think that you're the only one. And I think through this church, God puts people in your life. And as you know, God put John and Wendy Turney in my life. And never once have I heard Wendy say, "Why did it happen to me?" And I want you to continue to pray for her because she is carrying on where John left off. And John made a huge impact in my life when he didn't even know who I was. And that is what this church does. People just come out of the woodwork to help you. And I did have two major surgeries within 4 months, and I thought, poor me. I don't pretend to go through what the Levisheffs or even believe or understand what they've gone through. She is an inspiration, as is Drake. But there are people in this body that are suffering, and that is so true. They just carry on. The Wheelers, Karen Wheeler and I became very good friends, going through exactly the same thing with breast cancer. And we have become very good friends. We check on each other all the time. There are people that just come to you. I said to George when we were waiting out in the car, he was ushering, and I said, "You know, we don't have stained glass windows, and we don't have a beautiful large choir, but this church has something. I feel so sorry. I told you before that people don't come here, that they don't know about us." We have to get bigger, because when they find out, it will be overflowing. And one by one, we get people from Mariners. One by one, they find out. And I have never been told, it's a good thing, I've never been told you should be in a choir, nor will I ever be told that. And we could stand some of those things, but then when you come in, there is some warmth in this body, and I cannot tell you how much it has meant to me. Tracy is just like a daughter to me. I'm sure that the McNikowskis aren't thrilled about that, but that's the way I feel about her. She and Mark, we have known forever, and all ages, all people just reach out to you, and I just encourage you to seek out the people that are going through difficult times, and pray for Wendy. She's just a little bit extension of John, and thank you so much for all that you've done for me. And you do tend to think, poor me, until you look around, and whoever said that people carry on during their suffering, they do. And I wish I knew every one of you, all the notes, all the cards, all the encouragement, and I hope that in some way John has encouraged me to do a little bit of what he did to reach out to people that need you. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Tanner.
Well, we came from Mariners in the fall. So we've been attending Grace since October, and have just been so blessed by the body here. I am so nervous. But I just wanted to share a passage that encouraged me this year. And it was revealed to me through my friend Mindy, who has encouraged me through so much. And it's James 1:12, and the passage says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And through the trials we faced, we've just been reminded of God's faithfulness. And the book of Job has just been something that has also been good just to reflect upon through those trials. And just words of encouragement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rachel Wilson. I just wanted to share kind of a passage with you that God has really used in my life this year. It's been kind of a hard year. My parents have had a really hard time with their marriage, and my dad has really struggled with just all sorts of things, and he's just really been in a lot of sin this last year, and it's been really difficult. But last August, him and I kind of had a falling out, and just over the sin in his life and stuff, and he was really upset with me and angry, and I just felt really alone, and just I really wanted my dad, and God just gave me this verse one day, and it's in Psalms 27:10, and it says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." And in another version, it says that he'll care for me. And I don't know, I was so encouraged by that, and for the first time in my life, I really felt the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And before that day that I had read this verse, I had been just breaking down like every other day, my poor husband having to like just hold me so much while I was crying and stuff, and just really struggling with that. And then after I read this verse, it was almost as if, I mean, literally the next day I woke up and I just felt like a totally renewed person. And I just wanted to encourage any of you who are going through anything to really just trust in the Lord. And he's really just shown himself to be my heavenly father this last year. And I really just wanted my earthly father, but God really stepped in and just cared for me. So any of you who are struggling, just turn to the Lord.
Thank you. Well, we're going to transition to a time of communion together, but before we do, I just want to say some things myself along these lines. So yesterday, I sort of made an idiot of myself with my family. I totally blew my cool, and it was not pretty. And as we do, we, you know, kind of sort through it and work it out, and kind of made things right in the end. But I was just thinking afterwards, thinking this morning, actually, as I was driving in here today, that I'm just really grateful for a family that we can sort of knock heads occasionally and yet work through it because we're faithful and committed to one another and to kind of just, you know, just working through that tough stuff that sometimes we all go through. And so I'm grateful for you, hon, especially. She brought some clarity and sanity into the moment, and was able to align me and perspective, and I was really it was very needful and appropriate, and I'm really grateful for you for that. Another thing I want to say too is a person that many of you know is a lot behind the scenes, but she's you know, you see her a lot, but somebody who's really had a profound influence and effect on my life, and that is Ruth. Ruth came to be my assistant. She turns out to be everybody's assistant now, which we're trying to work through that issue. No, but about how long ago was it, Ruth? Two and a half years ago. In the midst of some difficult times for her, and yet of all the decisions I've made as executive pastor here, there's none been better than bringing her on. Absolutely has changed the face in many respects of our church, has changed how work is for me. I was not on a good track in terms of just the number of hours that I was putting in and all the stuff I was trying to do myself, and she was able to just to take a bunch of that stuff off of my plate and allow me actually to focus on stuff that I should be focusing on. And so I'm really grateful for you, Ruth. You've been awesome. So thanks. So, as I said earlier, this is Memorial Day. And at the Last Supper, Jesus was meeting with his disciples and said, every time you come together and eat and drink, I want it to be in a Memorial Day. And so it's appropriate, I think, on this Memorial Day that we, as we honor those who gave their lives for our country, that we close this time together as a church family, remembering Jesus Christ, who gave his life up for our ultimate freedom. And so we're going to do it like we do. We have tables, four tables up front. We have two in the back. Tim's going to come up here and just play some music, and you can just get up, you know, as the Lord leads you, and take the cracker and dip it in the cup, and let's remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right now. Thank you. kind of sort of audible this morning. Wendy just came up to me and said she wanted to say a few words that she didn't get a chance to. So, Wendy, come on up.
Well, I was going to stand up just when Mark closed it off, and he told me I had to do this the other day. So, about a year and a half ago, I had a verse that came to me. I hope I can do this. Anyway, and it was Isaiah 43 that said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." At that point, this verse just sounded so good to me, and I didn't know at the time how deep the water or how fast the water would be, how hot the fire, and how dark the nights. And what I just want to say is that through many of you, through all of you, I have experienced God's face and God's blessing, and I think in the very darkest of times is when we really get to see his character. And I've been so thankful for the teaching we've had in the last month about community, and it has just so cemented in me what this community has meant to us as a family. And I want to thank you all. And what Christina said about the aroma, this body to me has truly been the aroma of Christ, and I'm so thankful.